compliance with the open meeting law?
We are.
Rod is on the phone. Are we the only four members of the committee?
Yes.
We have 100% attendance. We have a quorum. This is agenda item 2, public comment, devoted to comments by the general public about those items appearing on the agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Please clearly state your name and address and spell your last name for the record. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak at this time? There are not. Agenda item 3 is the adoption of this agenda. Are there any changes anyone has to suggest in the agenda? I would accept a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll make that motion.
Motion is made by Rod. Are there any opposed?
Second.
We need a second? Second by John Mars. Any opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item 4, report, discussion, and action. Sub 1, approve finance committee minutes from our March 11th meeting. Are there any suggested changes to these minutes? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to approve these minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion approved by Mr. Devine. Second by Mr. Mars. All those opposed? Motion passes. Sub 2, review, discuss, building update.
Andy Glass, Director of Administration, Southern Nevada Health District. As you know, we are in our new home as of this date, as far as construction goes. We've announced our future home to the public and have placed signage on both Meadows and Decatur to indicate our future home. We went through the initial demolition phase at the groundbreaking about 6 weeks ago. And one of the first things that we discovered as we were going through the document review with the city and permit receipt was that we had an issue between the existing buildings on the property. As we divided the Southern Nevada Health District building, the former Target building, from the balance of the property, which is called the Brixton property, simply because that's the owner of the property, we discovered that the property line change caused an issue with fire regulations, which require a 60-foot distance between the property line and each of the buildings that are located in the area. We did not have that with the redefinition of the property line. We only had 40 feet maximum from the property line to each of the buildings. As a result, we had to renegotiate a no-build area as designated on this slide in blue between the SNHD building and the Brixton building. We were successful in being able to do that. There was no cost to either one of the owners of the property. However, for future building and construction that we were undertaking, that was a significant change for us in that had we not been able to negotiate an agreement with Brixton, we would have had to build a firewall not only at the exterior wall line, but also at two different locations within the building, so that relatively we saved a significant amount of money, actually a couple hundred thousand dollars, because the building of the walls themselves, plus the required deluge system, which would have been required for the sprinklers, did not have to be built. So the ability to work with Brixton through our very able legal counsel actually saved us a significant amount of money. A second thing that I wanted to draw your attention to is that we have moved the fleet parking for the district from the area that would be to the, what is that, the south end of the building to the back end of the building, which is actually the west end of the building. And the reason for that was because there's a fire hydrant located right here. And had we placed the secure fleet parking in this area, we would have had to construct a fence between the fire hydrant and the fleet parking. And to make a long story short, the fire department didn't like that. So we moved our fleet parking to the rear of the building. In addition, when we moved the fleet parking to the rear of the building, it gave us a very easy way to provide for a car charging station for some of our new to-be-purchased fleet cars. So it actually worked out pretty well for us in that case. And I think that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Does anybody have any questions about the general layout of the building? Yes.
Can I just point out the parking lot, because Bob, you and I were talking about this last Monday, is do you see that dotted line between the parking lots, Andy, if you could
point
that out? So it goes there, south, there. We own that parking portion, that parking lot, and Brixton owns the other piece, which is just to the north and to the east of us. The agreement that we made in the original agreement is that we would maintain our own parking lot, they would maintain their own parking lot. We did agree that for that park to the north, I think we would keep it swept for them.
Correct.
But beyond that, we own, they own. So if you drive over there, you'll see part of the parking spaces are outlined in white, and that should be to the east, and part of them are outlined in yellow, and that's ours.
How many parking spaces do we have?
I want to say 492, something in that neighborhood. And that includes the parking in the front of the building, some to the north of the building, and some to the west of the building, as well as to the south of the building. So that's total for our fleet parking, as well as employee parking, as well as visitor parking.
The only other thing to add is that when we got those four little storefronts, right there, we got that parking right in front of it too, because that had been that had belonged to the owner prior to Brixton.
Correct.
So we know about how many spaces employee parking takes up?
It's somewhere in the neighborhood of, we have about 375 employees on site there, so it'll be commensurate with that. We have very little carpool.
We have about 150 clients, which would be more than sufficient.
Right.
And I don't think that we're planning, and Brixton isn't planning, to police who parks where unless it becomes an issue.
We are planning to police our own parking to make sure that employees are parking the more distant areas from the lot. We actually have our employees, and we're in the process of getting stickers to all cars of all employees, so that the employee parking is in this area, this area, this area. And then what we'll do is we'll differentiate probably by striping, different color striping, where employees should park as opposed to visitors.
And how many do we have for handicap?
I couldn't tell you off the top
of my head.
Well,
we're getting ready to do a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Right in front of the storefronts, there are some handicapped access and
and then
we talked to the architects about is making sure that people who park here, that there will be a ramp that will go up and right into this entrance there. So right. There should be.
There's several. I want to say that there's eight there, but I don't know how many are out in front. I honestly don't know. I'll know the number by the time we get to the board meeting.
Yeah, because it's easy to determine as a percentage of the total parking.
Pardon?
What was the target built?
In 1974, I believe.
Oh, it's not 74.
Oh, geez. I'm going to go back so quick. Are you pressing this? I want to go back. Come on, where are you?
Arrow up.
Right where you
are. I'm going to go back. Okay. As far as the update, I wanted to just tell you where we're at. We're somewhere between 12 and 20% of the building under construction. We have done, we've ordered the cubicle furniture. One of the things that was a big decision right in the very front end is that our current landlord had told us that we could have all the cubicles that are here. So we thought that that would be a great savings. But as we did the actual cost analysis of actually taking the cubicles here, tearing them down, taking them over there, and recognizing what would have to be done for electric as well as data communications in those partitions, we found out that it was actually much more cost efficient for us to purchase new cubicles in the new building. We'd be able to have a savings doing that as opposed to moving the cubicles from here. So we ordered the new cubicle furniture. It's a long lead item.
Refurbished. Are we getting refurbished?
Correct. They're not brand new. They're new to us, but they are remanufactured is actually. They're not even refurbished. They're remanufactured. What the heck keeps happening here? We elected to upsize the generator. When we went to, when we took a look at the car charging station, and that was actually a suggestion that came up through Dr. Iser that we had not included, we saw that the size of the generator that had been spec'd was actually enough for the building, and that was it. And we said, well, this can't be. First of all, we want to add the charging station, and we don't know what things we might need in the future. So we upsized the generator, and that's about an $8,000 upcharge that we're going to see for that. However, it's a significant upsizing because of the as generator sizes go. And we went from a 275 kilowatt generator to a 400, and it was a really good deal for us. We approved all the subcontractors. The demolition began on July 20th. As I said, that we have somewhere between 12 and 20% of the building done. We've had significant security added at the site right now, particularly on the exterior. We've had at least six different incidents of either tagging at the building, or there was actually a theft from the, actually a pretty significant theft from the construction trailer when it was actually, or when it was first put up. We've got all the plumbing and electrical trenching finished. Inspection is occurring between today and tomorrow, so that by tomorrow we're going to start refilling the trenches and have that back in. The partitions are actually up. Actually, our new boardroom, the partitions are already up for that room. So if you want to take a peek over there, you see that. Most of the ductwork is completed already. So that's where we're at. We're on schedule. We are still planning to be moved into the building from here no later than the middle of December. And the only reason I say no later is because we're actually going to start moving in the latter part of November, be in there in December, then move 400, our offices from 400 Shadow Lane and our TB clinic into the building so that we're out of those locations by the end of January.
End of December?
No, January.
Okay.
We only have to be out of 400 by the end of January.
Okay.
And in talking with the county about the TB clinic, they've said that they really don't have any plans, immediate plans, so moving 1 month, or actually they said 6 months, it doesn't make any difference to them. The reason that that becomes an issue at all is because that's where all of our data connections go through, because they all come into the old building where we were at on Shadow Lane. So anyhow, that's where we're at with that. And then finally, why is this moving like that?
Operator air.
Yeah, right. Operator area. It's my fault. Of course. This is where we're at with the budget. The funds available in total, we have $10.9 million available, and that includes transfers from this current fiscal year, our previous fiscal year, our beginning balance that we had in the building fund. As we go through the major costs that we expect to see between construction and demolition, and purchase of the building, where is that? That's included. Where is the construction? anyhow, with the architectural services, the furniture fixtures, and all the costs that are included within the construction of the building for about $11.1 million. We also need to recognize that we're going to have to do something in our Henderson location for about $225,000. We have a delta of about $400,000. At this point, I'm not real concerned about that.